for the tape. The title of the shiur is The Best Recipe for Charosas. Tonight we're going to discuss the mitzvah of Charosas, and we're going to break up this Gemara, destroy it, and then put it back together. We're going to look at it halachically, we're going to look at it philosophically. So that's what we're going to do tonight. You guys ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right, so the Mishnah is on Kuf Yudalad Amud Aleph. And Gemara Pesachim. I'll read the first Mishnah. You guys follow along. The Mishnah says, "Heviu lefanav mitabel bechazeres ad shemagia leparperes hapas." We're going to skip over this. I'm just going to explain it outside because this is the main area that we're doing tonight. The Gemara is saying that you bring out karpas, and if you don't have karpas, what do you use? Let's say you don't have any potatoes or you don't have any parsley. You're allowed to use marar instead of karpas because marar is a vegetable. And you dip the karpas, and you can use marar in addition to using marar for the mitzvah of marar. Okay, that's the main Gemara. We're not the main Mishnah. We're not going to focus on that. The next part's really the key. Okay. The Mishnah says, "Heviu lefanav matzah v'chazeres v'charoses u'shnei tafshilin." After a karpas, they would bring in the seder plate. What was on the seder plate? They would put matzah, chazeres, which is marar, charoses, and two tafshilin, two cooked foods. Afal pi she'ein charoses mitzvah. Even though charoses is not a mitzvah, it was put on the seder plate. Rabbi Lazar ben Sadok Omer, he says mitzvah. It is a mitzvah. Uve mikdash hayu mevi'im lefanav gufo shel Pesach. And in the time of the mikdash, they would bring the guf of the Pesach.
Seems like a strange thing to like argue on. Like it is a mitzvah. Either it's not a mitzvah or it is. It's not like whether they're arguing whether it's the Reis, the Rabbanan, or like the Metzias of the mitzvah. It's just saying, is it a mitzvah or not?
Okay, good question. So Avi's asking, what kind of machlokas is this?
Yeah.
Basically, right? What do you guys think?
It seems a little ridiculous. Like to say it's like you're pregnant or you're not. It's
okay, good.
It's a mitzvah, but I don't know. I can't.
All right, we have to look at the Gemara, right?
Yeah.
That's the next step. All right, let's look at the Gemara. The Gemara is on Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. This is the main Gemara we're going to focus on tonight, and this takes up or explains the idea behind whether Charosis would be a mitzvah or not a mitzvah. The first Gemara is the tough Gemara, so I'm going to give it to Avi.
Whoa. Okay.
Do you mind if I correct you? If you
correct the letter.
It's not fair because I prepared this beforehand. If I were reading, I'd also... Okay, go on. It starts with the two dots, three lines down. The Gemara is explaining the shita that holds it's not a mitzvah. So why do we have it?
V'ilo mitzvah. So if it's not a mitzvah, mishum mai. So then why do we have it? Maisila.
Stop. Mishum mai maisila. Why do we bring it? Why do we have it? Why is it brought to the table if it's not a mitzvah? Good question?
Yeah.
Go on.
Amarav ami mishum kapa. Okay. So Rav Ami says because of kappa.
What is that? Look at Rashi. Rashi's about four lines down from the top.
Sarav hachazeres kasha v'yesh bo eres.
Maror, what does that mean? You want to translate or you want me to?
I don't get any of the words.
Okay. Maror, chazeres is maror. It's sharp, sraf. It has like a heat to it. It's very hard. It's kasha. It's difficult. V'yesh bo eres. It has like a poison to it. So you need an antidote to the mara.
So the charosis is just like a...
The charosis is an antidote to the mara. Go okay. On.
Dechama... I'm sorry, hold on. Mishum kappa. Amarav asi. Kappa dechasa. Chama. Kappa dechama karasi.
Go on.
Kappa dekarasi chamimi.
Go on.
Kappa dekuhu chamimi.
Okay, stop.
Chamimi, okay.
Okay, the Gemara is just giving medical advice. And it's telling you that, let's say you eat marar without having charoses, and then you get this indigestion, that's what I'm going to call it, or acidity. What's the solution? The solution is, it says, kappa dechasa chama, to eat a radish. And then the next thing is, kappa dechama karti. Now, if, let's say you eat a radish and you get indigestion, what's the solution? You eat a leek. Kappa dekarti chamimi. And what's the solution to getting indigestion from a leak? Drink hot water, which works, actually. I don't know, when I have acid reflux and I drink hot water, it actually helps. Okay, go. And then the Gemara says, kappa dechulu chamimi. In every case, whenever you have acidity or indigestion, you should always drink hot water. That's the best solution. Go on.
The Hachi, the Hachi Nema, Hachi Kappa.
This is why I gave it to you.
Did
yeah. Ulishev.
Ulishev. Benatif.
Benosecha.
Benosecha. Okay.
Ulasamne.
Ulasamne Klasecha.
Okay. There's no way you're going to know what that means.
Any of those words. No chance.
What do you do until you take this antidote? You're supposed to say this out loud. So what do you say? Kappa kappa dachir nalach. Poison, poison, I know you, I remember you. And to your seven daughters and your eight daughters-in-law.
Thank God for Archibald.
So apparently the Gemara is giving you advice. If you haven't had the antidotes to this poison or this indigestion, that's what we're going to call it, you should say this before, and so what's the idea of this before we move on? This is kind of a secondary idea, but the Gemara does this in a lot of places. It says if you're frightened, you should say blank, blank, blank. I'm filling the blanks. Or in various situations, the Gemara is telling you to say certain things. So what do you think the idea would be? There's obviously some rationale. Maybe we can understand it from a more scientific perspective. What do you think? What do you guys think?
Kind of like a placebo.
Good.
In a sense.
Good, yeah.
You're saying these words will...
Sometimes, like when you get hurt, for example, I've broken ankles playing basketball. You say certain things, it like calms you down, it takes the pain away. The idea is that psychologically, sometimes by saying things out loud, it soothes the pain. So, because a lot of pain is psychological, it's not just physical. So the Gemara is just telling you, it's just giving you a recommendation, and it's telling you what to say. Kappa kappa dachir nalach means, I've seen you before, I can handle you. The idea is that it's supposed to calm you down, and hopefully it'll help you with this problem, with the indigestion.
It's funny to have like life advice in the Gemara, you know?
I know. I think the Gemara is demonstrating that they had knowledge in other areas. It wasn't just...
Yeah, but it's also, like, it's a Sefer Halacha. Like,
But it's not just a Sefer Halacha. That's the point. It's Chazal's trying
it's
to give...
It's a medical book and
Yeah. But the main point of this, what's the main point of this piece? Why do we have
the charoses?
Yeah, so why do we have the charoses according to the Shita? It's not a mitzvah, so why do we have it?
It's a medical remedy.
It's a medical remedy. Okay, good. Okay. What about the other? We're going to read through the Gemara first, because I always think it's best to get all the facts, and then you go back and you can try to analyze it and break it down into its components. Okay. Levi, this is an easier Gemara. Do you want to read it? The Gemara goes on the two dots. It's quoting Rabbi Lazar Bar Tzadok, Rav Tzadok Omer Mitzvah, v'chulei. Okay, go on.
Rabbi Lazar Bar Tzadok Omer Mitzvah, v'chulei. My mitzvah, what is a mitzvah? Rabbi Levi Omer, zecher l'tapuach.
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 Okay.
So it's a remembrance of the apple.
The apple. So what does that mean? Just look at Rashi, quick.
So...
Rashi is yeah. You see.
Yoldos b'nehen sham below etzev shelo yekiru b'hen yitzchayim d'chtiv
tachas
tachas etapuah
or aticha. In Mitzrayim, the women, they were nervous that the Mitzrayim would find them when they were giving birth. There was a nace. The nace was that they wouldn't have any pain during childbirth. And it's a reference. It's referenced in Shir HaShirim. Tachas HaTapuach or Aticha means underneath the apple tree. That's where they had children. It's a reference to that. Okay, go on.
So, Rav Yochanan Omer Zecher Letayas.
Letit. What does that mean? What's Letit? No Rashi. No Rashbam. It's the mortar. The mortar. In Mitzrayim.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
The mortar that they used. Okay, go on.
Amar Abai, Ilkach, Tzarech l'kaviya, Tzarech l'smuchia.
L'samuche.
L'samuche.
Okay.
So therefore, you have to...
That's a hard word. L'kahuya means to make it tart. You have to make it tart. And if you look at Rashi, it says...
L'samuchia, L'atil v'l'tosh bo harbe k'dei sh'ye av Tzarech l'kahuya, L'atil bo t'kuchim v'yayin.
Okay, you have to do two things. One thing is that you have to make it thick, like because that's zecher to the mortar. And the other thing is that you have to add in apples and wine, and you have to make it tangy as zecher tapuach, as a remembrance of the idea, this idea that the women gave birth without childbirth pains. Okay, go on. There's only a couple more lines in this Gemara, and then we can break
so
it down.
Rashi?
No, you just read the Rashi. Right. Oh, the next one was Samuche.
Yeah.
You can read that one. Go on. Do you want to read it? You just read Zechla Tapuach.
Yeah.
No, no, then you read the Samuche. Tzarech lekahuye. Okay, the Gemara is explaining that you have to do both. You have to make it tangy for the tapuach, and you have to make it thick for the mortar. Go on.
It's like the classic thing you hear. Oh, it's for the mortar of the bricks that we were building in the shrine.
Right, we're going to try to explain that.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, good question. If you guys have questions, just ask, and it's no problem. Don't worry.
It's an open chair.
Open chair. Go on.
Tanya kivas Rabbi Yochanan. So the Brisa says that the halach is like Rabbi Yochanan. Tavin zecher letavin letavin. Charosa zecher leti.
Okay, there's a Brisa that seems to imply the halach is like Rabbi Yochanan. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Yochanan held that it was zecher letit. It was the zecher to the mortar. And you add spices in as a zecher to the tevin, to the straw. And we're going to explain what that means coming up. Just hold off on the... Okay, go on. The window storekeepers, if you look at Rashi, it says, Tagare charach, chanvanim hayoshim etzel chalonoseim, umokrin kemo metis minacharakim. There are these window store owners, and they would stand there, and they would yell, they would scream out, come and buy spices, la mitzvah, for the mitzvah, meaning for charosas. Okay? Okay, so we have two shitas, right? One shita says that charosas is not a mitzvah, and the other shita says it is a mitzvah. And what are the reasons given, again? You guys want to refresh my memory?
Well,
you don't mind?
For not a mitzvah, it's based off the fact that it helps, you know, settle your stomach or whatever it is for the mar. And the side that says that it is a mitzvah is based off the fact that women were granted this nest in Mitzrayim where they didn't feel pain while they were giving birth.
Okay, good.
So that it's lezecher that.
Okay. Okay, good. All right, before we just break it up, how would you define, we're just going to define this like a piece of brisker, a brisker gemara, like a brisker. We're not going to go into the reasons until maybe later in this year. According to the first shita, how would you define or how would you categorize what charosis is? What would you categorize it as? You said it before, but what would you categorize it as?
It's like a physiological...
Physiological what?
I don't know.
You could just use a simpler term. How about medicine?
Okay.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
We're going to go with medicine. Okay, according to the first shita, it's really refuah. It's medicine, right? Mm-hmm. What about the second shita? What do they hold? Okay. But are they holding that it's medicine? Or what's, as opposed to medicine?
The reason for the mitzvah isn't the medical reason. They could hold it. It's medicine.
Well, the second shita, the shita that holds that it is a mitzvah, they can't deny the fact that this helps with,
yeah,
right? You can't deny the scientific fact. So then if it's not medicine, though, essentially, what else could it possibly be? I'm just asking you guys, fine, you want to say that's what it's for, it's a zecher, but how would you categorize it? If you were to call it something, and you were to put it in the store as something, what would you categorize it as? This is simple. I'm not tricking you guys. I just want the most simplest concept that you could think of.
Wait, can you say it over again?
Yeah. The first shita holds, like you guys said, it's medicine, right? The second shita that holds it's a mitzvah. How would you categorize the charosas if you hold it's a mitzvah, based on the gemara that we just did? What category would you put it in? Would you put it as a... Would it be in the category of paintings? Would it be in the category of wood? What is it? I'm not tricking you. I'm telling you, I'm not tricking you. It's the most simple. It's an ochel, right? It's a food. Okay, right? Would you guys accept that? What's the difference between food and medicine? Here, how about we just define it outside
the? There's enough from one, and well, there's like you get enough from the ochel that you know that you're eating it, you're satiated afterwards.
Okay.
Whereas medicine is more of it's just not a satiation. It's just you're trying to remedy something that's wrong.
Okay.
So all right. Two different kind of
give ones. Me different aspects of food. Like, what makes food food as opposed to... You're saying medicine essentially... I agree with you. Medicine essentially is to fulfill a certain purpose. So even though, let's say in this case, charosas, in reality you're ingesting it, But really, it's not defined as an ochal, it's defined as a medicine. And even though it has aspects of food, but essentially that's not what it is. It's a medicine. But what's the difference between... Give me an idea of... when you go to a restaurant, right?
With a nutritional value. You know, one has...
What are you looking for? Let's say you go out to a restaurant. What are you looking for in food?
It's
taste. Okay, so one aspect of food is taste, right? Whereas medicine... Yeah, it's true that medicine, they add these sugar stuff to the medicine. They add purple flavoring. But that's not the essence of medicine, right? Medicine is not there for the taste. But a food, you have taste, right? What else? When you go to a restaurant, what else do you care about? Let's say somebody just plopped food down all together and just mixed it together.
The texture, I guess, makes a difference.
Texture and appearance, right? All these things are different factors.
I mean, that's what Rashi did when, I think, on Rabbi Yochanan, right? He was describing how it should taste or how it should be made.
Yeah. Okay, good. That's
a certain type of experience. When you're eating, you should have a certain type of experience.
Good.
Looks good.
Right, so...
Tastes good.
And eating also produces a different effect also than medicine, right? Medicine just removes whatever, the pain. But whereas food, if you eat bread, for example, it produces svia, it produces satiation, right? But we're just I'm just trying to get you guys to define the difference between a food and a medicine. So you guys are right. Medicine is, it's true, maybe medicine will have flavor to it, but that's not the essence of what medicine is. Medicine essentially just removes the problem, whereas by food, there are various aspects of food that make it an ochal, and make it food. One thing is taste, like you said, when you go to a restaurant, you look for tasty food. Another thing is appearance, the way it looks. If a chef just plopped down food on a plate, it wouldn't be too appealing, and you wouldn't want to eat it. So food has other aspects that medicine doesn't have, right? So what about, with that in mind, maybe we can characterize the machlokas, right? Just in the most basic framework. According to the shita that holds that it's not a mitzvah, they are defining charosas as a refuah, as a medicine, right? The other shita that holds that it is a mitzvah, they're defining charosas as an ochal, essentially. As a food. You like it?
Yeah.
You accept it? All right, good. Now, what's the difference between, based on that idea, what's the difference between Zecher Letit and Zecher Letapuach in terms of, in that framework? You guys said it, but I just want you guys to say it again because I like hearing you guys speak. Say it again. Yeah, just in terms of how you're expressing the idea. What are you utilizing? Which aspects are you utilizing? Of the food. We just said there's all these different elements of food. Which aspects are you using? In the Zecher Letit, what are you using? Texture, the appearance, right? It's supposed to look like mortar. Good.
Zecher Letapuach has the taste.
Taste, okay, good. All right. So I think you guys are right. So Avi and Levi, they're both saying that by charosis, if you hold charosis as a mitzvah, the idea is that you're utilizing different aspects of it as an ochel in order to express the idea, in order to express Zecher Letapuach and Zecher Letit. So the shita that holds that it's Zecher Letit, he holds that you're utilizing the texture and the appearance of the food, and that's what's supposed to create the Zecher. And the other shita holds that you're utilizing the taste. You're supposed to make it tangy. Why? The tanginess of the taste is supposed to reflect on the idea of Tachas Letapuach or Articha. All right.
Yeah.
So what about the next, we're going to leave off the philosophy. Hopefully we'll get to it. Because the question is, why do these ideas demand their own zakhira? You know, why do we need a zakhira for Zecher Letit? Why do we need a zakhira for Zecher Letapuach? Okay, but we're going to hold off on that. We're just defining it like cold briskers. That's what we are, right? Cold briskers. Yeah. For now. all right. So what about the next move in the Gemara? Look inside. Let's just do it again inside. So if you look at the next Gemara, it says Amar Abaye. You want to read it again?
Which Gemara are you looking at?
It's about six lines up from the Mishnah. Amar Abaye. It's on Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Sorry.
You don't have to. You want to read?
No, it's the same
way. Oh, Amar. Yeah, there's a Dal. It's right by the Rambam.
Okay, fine. Got it. Amar Rabbi, Hokav Tzarech Le Kahave, V'Tzarech Le Smuche. Le Kahave, Zecher Le Tapuach, V'Tzarech Le Smuche, Zecher Le Tit.
Okay, so what is the Abaye solution? What does Abaye say?
That the kahave, that you, okay, if I need both the kahave and the smuche.
Okay.
And the kahave is eichel tapuach, and tsarech l'smuche is eichel tit.
Okay, so, but what's a bias saying? He's saying you do both, right?
Yeah.
Bias saying you do both.
The smuche and the lakahuve were what?
Lakahuve means to make it tangy, so okay. You add in the apples and the yayin and the wine. And l'samuche means to make the texture like more. Okay. So Abai is saying that you have to do both, right? So apparently he's saying that you can have both zecher l'tapuach and zecher l'tit. And whenever you have a machlokes and you can create a pshara, you can create a compromise and express both ideas, you do so, right? Okay, let's go on in the Gemara. Let's just read it again inside.
Tanya kavote, Rabbi Yochanan, tavlin zecher l'teven charoses.
Wait, L'teven?
L'teven. Charoses is zecher l'tit. Amar Rabbi.
Wait, stop. So explain that.
So he's saying that the tavlin is...
spices.
Right, but what's the teven?
Teven is straw.
Okay, it was the zecher for the straw. And the charoses is the zecher for the mortar, or the bricks.
Okay, but what is the Gemara doing at this point? Are they in line with Abaye? Are they rejecting Abaye? What exactly is going on here?
I mean, they don't seem to be deviating or saying otherwise. They're just stating a fact that what these two things are zechira for.
No, but it says Tanya Kavase. There's a brisa like Rav Yochanan, Kavase the Rav Yochanan.
Okay.
And if you look at the mitzvah, the machlokes before, it says my mitzvah, Rav Levi Omer Zech Tapuach, Rav Yochanan Omer Zech Letet. Right? So one way you can learn this Gemara is that it's rejecting Abaye's solution. Right? Abaye is saying you do both. Abaye is saying you do l'kahuye, and you also do l'samuche, and then the Gemara is going on, and it's saying, no, you can't do that. The psak is really like Rav Yochanan, and the only thing you do is zecher l'tit. You only make the tit, right? That's one way you can learn it. You don't have to learn it like that. Other Rishonim learn it. How else can you learn it? Like, what's the other way to learn it?
You need both of them.
Right, and it's just validating that shita. It's just bringing a raya that Rav Yochanan's based on a Masora, but it's not rejecting Abaye's approach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but let's say you said it was rejecting Abaye's approach. You guys following? Or
Yeah.
Let's say it was rejecting Abaye's approach. So now you have a machlokes in the Gemara, right? Abaye is saying that you do both. You do zecher lekahuye and zecher letit by l'samuche, and this sheet is saying, no, you can't do both. Because everybody would hold that if you could do both, you should do both. But this sheet is saying you don't, and you choose. And he's saying you choose Rabbi Yochanan, zecher
letit. It's not necessarily saying that you can't do both, it's just you're fine by doing one.
Well, why wouldn't you do both if you could express both? Like I said before, if you have a machlokes and you could express both, then why wouldn't you? So what would this machlokes, give me a possibility. What would this machlokes be based on? Let's say you held that really you could do both, like a buyer, and you should do both. So what you should do is make it tangy and you should also make it thick, like mortar. Whereas this other shita that's coming after is saying, no, that you do it like Rav Yochanan, you make it zecher l'tit. And apparently you can't do both. So why would you say you could do both versus not doing both? What do you guys? I'm putting you guys on the spot. I gotta lead you guys more.
Yeah, it's a big crowd over here.
You can think about it. Well, let's say I had a painting. I'll use an example. Let's say I had a painting that was half white, half black, right? How would you define the painting? Would you define it as black? Would you define it as white? You couldn't, right?
So it's a hybrid between the two.
It's a hybrid, right? But it takes away, one takes away from defining it as the other,
right?
Like the fact that you have white and black, it takes away, the black takes away from you defining it as white, and the white takes away from you defining it as black, right? Okay, so what about here? You have these two concepts of zecher l'tapuach and zecher l'tit.
So
would you say, you guys can explain, but would you say that by having both in one entity, in charoses, would you say that it takes away from the other or not?
Well, that's what Rabbi Yochanan's saying. He's saying that you can only really have one, and there's one zechira that's super important.
Okay, good.
And we have to do that zechira, whereas Abaye is saying, no, if they're really, I guess, on par with each other.
Could you say that only an act, like only an ochel can have an idea of zikr? So the whole food has to have one idea of zikr.
Good, I like it. I like it. That's good.
So you can't have two contradictory ideas of zikr. You can't.
Okay, great. I like that.
You have to choose one.
All right, I like that. Wait. So let me just say that for everybody, so everybody can hear. The idea that Levi is saying, I think, is on par. He's explaining Rav Yochanan. I think you were going in this direction, the same. When you have an ochel and you define it as a zecher, as a remembrance, how could you have, if you have two in one ochel, it's almost like it takes away from its identity as one. For like, let's take Mar, for example. Mar is, why do we do Mar? Not a sure question. Why do we do Mar? Because of the Vayimaru Eschayayim, right?
Yeah.
That is the identity of Mar. You can't have two things in Mar. If you had another thing in Mar, it would take away from its identity as Vaymar Ras Chayim.
Yeah, but why can't you have multiple identities in something?
Because it takes away from its definition. That's my point.
But even if it is if you have two Zechiros, it's not necessarily taking away from its definition. It could be adding to its definition.
But which one is it? That's the question. What is this entity? Let's say you see Charosas. What is it? Is it Zechar this or Zechar that? You can't define it unless you... According to that's Rav Yochanan Shita. The Gemara. Saying you can't define it. You can't define an entity as this and that. It's either this or that. And it's an Ochal. So which one is it? Is it Zechar Letet or Zechar Tefuach? And he's saying it's Zechar Letet, right?
Yeah.
Good. So that's good. What's the other side?
So I'll tell you the other side and I'll ask. I guess the other side is that basically you can have zechir based on the elements of the thing. So something if the element like different elements can have different roles
Good. Yeah,
so
just
like
explain
the texture, or like the texture and the taste is two different elements. So if there's two different elements, then you can have a zechir through each element, and each element obviously has to have a consistent zechir, but they're two different elements.
That's exactly. So Levi's saying it. He's saying that what we said is that an ochel can be broken up into different components. So what Levi's saying is that the component of texture and appearance is different than the component of taste. So they're not really, so within that entity, the entity of charosas, because it is an ochel and it has many different components, each component can exist on its own and one doesn't take away from the other because they exist in different frameworks. One exists in the framework of taste, and the other one exists in the framework of texture. Those are two different frameworks. So the question is, can you break up an ochel based on its different aspects? Or do you say that, no, it's one entity, it's an ochel, and it can't be defined as two things? You have a question on your own, Svara?
Well, I don't really understand, what lets us define, we can define an ochel, right? Like, an ochel can be defined because... Like, basically, you have these two elements that are confused, right?
Yeah.
But we want to, how do we define that as one thing? Like, we can't, like, why are we choosing one element over the other? How can we do that, basically?
You mean according to the end of the Gemara?
According to the Shita that says that, yeah, it's only, right?
That's
it's only Zechel.
It's
two different elements. So, yeah, are we saying that it doesn't have the other element? Like, it clearly has the other element also.
No, that shita would hold that you wouldn't add in the tapuach. You wouldn't make.
But what does it mean? It's still like
he doesn't. How do you choose which element?
Practically, like it's still. It is is it a zikr or is it not? Like practically, it could remind us of that thing.
Right.
So what is it? What does zikr mean? What exactly is zikr? Is it like a halakhic idea? Is it like a practical idea? Like practically, we'll eat something sweet and we'll have this association. So how do we say a good association with the tapuach? So how do we say that? Oh, it's not really. It's identity with something else. You know.
Well, I don't understand your question. You got to explain it more.
My question is, meaning we're saying that this thing is defined as a zikr to something.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to understand what that means.
Okay.
Is that like a halakhic idea that it's like somehow like halakhically a zikr?
Yeah, there's
is
two.
Is it like an actual?
There's a halakhic aspect to it, but there's also a philosophical. That's why I love this mitzvah is great. We're going to get into the philosophy, but the idea is that there's a halakhic definition as a zikr. Is it a zikr tapuach or a zikr letit? But the point of it, obviously, is to remember and to gain insight into these areas philosophically.
Right, but I guess if there's an actual, meaning there's an actual association, right?
Yeah.
Like it seems like there's an actual association with the sweet taste of the apple.
There should be. I mean, the Gemara is telling you that this is why it was instituted in this manner, so that people create this association. When you see the charoses, you're supposed to associate it with the idea of the tit.
So you're saying, what if we choose, be choose that it's only zecher with tip, right?
Yeah.
So then we're saying that it has no, meaning it doesn't have any zecher to tefuah?
Yeah. In fact.
Even though it might actually remind us of the
tefuah.
Like, even though practically it could actually, like, we might even...
It's not, though, because what reminds you of the tapuach is the fact, at least the Gemara, according to the Gemara, is through its taste, the tam. So if you don't add that in, according to the Shita, you wouldn't add that in. You wouldn't have tapuach.
Oh,
you're
going
to
make it sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. In fact, I wasn't going to bring this in, but the Rambam actually paskins like that Shita, Zecher Tit, and he says, let me read the Rambam inside. I made a little sheet for myself. Come prepared. The Rambam says, where is that Rambam?
No, we move right away.
Yeah, do you mind?
Yeah,
all right. In response to Levi's point, the Rambam in Perek Zayin Halachi Ralph, I'll read it out loud. Hacharosis mitzvah medivrei sofrim zecha letit. The Hacharosis is a mitzvah medirabanan as a remembrance of the tit. Shayu ovden bo b'mitzrayim, that they would use it in Mitzrayim and as slaves. V'chetzan osin osa, how do you make charoses? Lochin tamarim, you take dates, o grogoros, or figs, o tzimukin, or raisins, uchiyotzebahan, and things like this. V'dorsin osan, and you beat it down, and you make it into, v'nosnum osochan chometz, you add in some vinegar, o mitavlin osan, bitavlin, you add in spices, kamo tit b'teven, like tit and tevin, which we're going to explain. Pesach. What do you see from the Rambam? There's no idea of tapuach there. The Rambam's passing like the last sheet in the Gemara. Whereas other Rishonim, by the way, they learn, I didn't bring him in, but the Meiri, for example, he learns that the last sheet is not a rejection of Abaye. So he would hold that you would do both. But I just wanted to add one point to the Svara that Levi was saying, which is that we have two, we have other Ochlim at the Seder. What are the main other ochlim at the Seder?
You got Mar
and Matzah, right? So I think Mar and Matzah are perfect because Mar, what's the Zecher Mar? Where's the main idea in Mar? As an ochel. Where does it manifest?
Bitterness.
Yeah, so it's in the taste, right? What about Matzah?
It's not in the taste necessarily, it's in the way it was made.
Right, the way it was made, the way it looks. I'm just saying appearance as an entity. So the idea is that those two elements are two distinct elements within food. You see that they can both, each element can express a concept separately. By matzah, it's through the appearance, and by mar, it's through the taste. So charoses, according to Abaye, you can use one element, one of those elements, the tam, to express the zecher tapuach, and the appearance slash texture to express zecher letit. And it wouldn't be a contradiction because those components are distinct within achila, within an ochel. That's one shita. So I'm saying you see that concept outside of just charoses. And the other shita, like you said, is they hold that it's one ochel. So you have to define the ochel as something. Just like by marar, it's bitter. So too, by charoses, you have to define it either as a zecher letapuach or zecher letzit. Okay?
Yeah.
So you guys cool with that? Okay, so what is the idea, though? We have to understand the idea philosophically. Right? First of all, what's tevin letit? According to the side that holds zecher letit, the Gemara ends up saying that it's tavlin is for tevin, and it says that charosa zecher letit. So what exactly is that? Does anybody know how the mortar was made in Egypt? Anybody in construction? No? None of you guys?
They had to do it all themselves, right?
Yeah, they had to do it. Yeah. If you look in the, I brought in a Rashi just on the, I always think it's a good, if you want to understand philosophy, you have to always go to, you have to know your facts, and you have to go to the source. There's a Rashi, he kind of explains what the relationship between the straw and the mortar was. I didn't even know this before. I always assumed that the mortar was simply a means of bonding different bricks, but it's not. It's actually...
You thought it was like that thing they would smear between the...
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Is that what you thought it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not, according to Rashi. Rashi says that... Where's that Rashi? Okay. So Rashi's on in Shmos, and it says Tevin. I just found this Rashi. It's on the Tevin and the Tit, and he explains the process. Hayu govlin oso ima tit. They would immerse the Tevin, and they would mix it with the mortar. And Levinim sheosa mitit umyabshin osan bechama. Then they would take this entity, and they would dry it out, and that would make the bricks. So really, the Tevin and the Tit are really the precursors to the bricks. Okay, but why does this need, what is this adding to, let's say, because of course the halacha is that you dip the mar into the charosis. That's the ikar halacha. So why do we need this extra idea? What is this adding? So what is this adding to the concept of Vayimaru Es Chayim? What do we talk about it? Why don't we just say it? Why do we need it?
The process through which they made the lives.
But they didn't just spend all their time making bricks. They also took the bricks and they built cities. So why is it focusing on this element?
I mean, because the making of the bricks was first we gave you the bricks and then they made the lives that much harder by then forcing them. It could be that they were satisfied with just doing the regular building.
Yeah.
But then once they had to do...
No, well, they always had to. They always had to make the bricks themselves. But there was a point, I know what you're referring to, and the Marsha brings this. There was a point that this is what it's referring to. There was a point where Moshe goes to Paro, if you all remember, and Paro gets upset, and he keeps the same... he says you have to produce the same amount of bricks, and now you have to go out and get the Tevin. So originally they gave them the Tevin and the Tit, and they had to make from that the bricks. And then at a certain point, they had to collect the straw themselves.
Oh, that's what, that was the...
Yeah, at that point.
Okay.
But the general process of this, it was to take the tevin and make the mortar. So I just want to propose a possibility. Maybe you guys, we'll see if you guys like it or not. The idea, I think, is that there's some outlet of, even if you're an Eved, if you're a slave, when you build something, there's a certain sense of creativity or satisfaction in building something. It doesn't matter if you're an Eved or not. You see the end result. You built a building. You built a city. But when you're making the raw materials to do that, so there's no outlet for a person's creativity in that work, in that type of work. Because, like, take a construction worker.
It's an assembly line kind of thing.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Like, take a construction worker. You don't tell the construction worker to chop down the trees and make the wood boards. No, you give him the raw materials, and then he makes the building out of it. But by the Jews in Mitzrayim, one of the things, one element that made it so hard for them, Vayimaru Es Chayim, one aspect of it, of that, was the fact that part of their work demanded a lack of expression of creativity or satisfaction. So the work itself, the nature of the work itself, of making the raw materials, it didn't have or it lacked in terms of feeling that sense of satisfaction. So the idea of Charoses is that it's adding insight into Vayimaru Es Chayim. That it wasn't just the fact that they were beaten or that they were carrying things, but there was a psychological element that they weren't able to, in the process of the avoda, they weren't able to express the sense of satisfaction in that, in this aspect.
Rishon comment actually on the, like, that would be Mepayach.
Yeah.
And Mepayach, like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And they define it as, like, work that brings there's no feeling of, like what you're describing, there's no feeling of completion. Like
who that. Says that?
I think Rosh, I think there's a few commentators.
Oh, okay.
So it's a bepar. Like that's the type of work where it's not like you don't feel like you've actually like completed something. You're just like you're working, and there's no like basically what you're saying. There's no sense of like accomplishment.
Right. So it's almost like right. Okay, good. So that's what I'm saying. I'm saying the Iker idea of the Charoses is that it's adding one new element to Vayimaru Es Chayim. You might think that Vayimaru Es Chayim was the physical, but there's a psychological element too. That man, when they work, they want to express satisfaction. They want some type of outlet for their creativity. And this type of avdus demanded a removal of that. And it almost was a lack, there's a lack of humanity there.
And how is that portrayed in the Charoses?
Through the texture, the tit, and the tevin. That's why it's tevin to tit. It wasn't just tit. Why wasn't it just the mortar? Because it's telling you that it's the process of taking the tevin and the tit together to make the bricks that was so tough for them. In other words, it could have just said the Zecher L'Tit, but it wasn't just that. It was that process, the process of making the bricks, the raw materials, that was what was difficult for them. But it's highlighting that it was more of a psychological, there's a psychological element in, because even in the Torah system, there's avdos, you know? But in Eved, in the Torah system, you're not allowed to demean them, you can't give them work that puts them down. You have to treat them respectfully. Whereas by the Jews in the Mitzrayim, they lacked a certain psychological outlet in their work because they were involved in just a lot of the time involved in making the raw materials. I think that's one idea. If you guys have different ideas, just share. You know, no problem. What about Zeichle Tapuach? This is a tough idea. Tough. What's the idea there? What does that have to do with Vayimaru Es Chayim? That's what bothered me. Because everybody holds it's Charoses is Eden, or you dip the Mar into the Charoses, right? I mean, everybody holds that. You know, the Rambam holds that, all the Rishonim hold that. So how does that idea of Zeichel Tapuach fit in with Vayimar Rosh Chayim?
It's like seeing the silver lining, you know?
Okay.
When you're eating it with the Mar, you're eating it with Vayimar Rosh Chayim, and at the same time, like, you're eating this Zeichel Tapuach, the Zeichel that there was, like, God's involvement still.
Okay.
There's a shkacha that made it easier for that woman to give birth and to protect the kids.
Okay.
So even in the situation where, like, even in the worst of times.
Okay, I like that. I like
even
it.
Even in the zecher of, like, the worst of the worst, there's a...
You sound like my brother, because I was doing this area with my brother, and this was his svara. So Levi wants to say that it's telling you that even despite the fact that they were by Marus Chayeyam, there was hashkacha there. So the idea of the charosis is to show you an element of the hashkacha that existed in Vayimar Rosh Chayim. So you shouldn't think that they were just that there was no involvement of God in this. Right, they weren't abandoned. Right, I like that. Is there anybody else? I had a different approach, but I like that approach. I was you're deep in thought. I like it.
No.
You're trying to work out another idea.
Yeah, but yeah. I guess I'll hear what you have.
No, go ahead.
I mean, it's not even close to worked out.
Don't worry, it's fine.
No, you go first.
We're open. No, I can't go first. It's not fair. I'm going to bias you. I don't want to go first. You go first.
Okay, give me a second.
No problem.
Pressure's off.
But it's kind of all over the place. So it probably might exactly sound like what Levi was saying. But there was they saw the light at the end of the tunnel, the potential for salvation. And I guess the sweetness that you get out of this, the apple, is what, you know, you see in the charoses. But, yeah, I don't know, it's not well formulated in my head, and it sounds exactly what Levi's saying also.
It's okay. There's no, like, there's no first dibs when it comes to svaras, you know? There is
no... No, it's not...
All right, so you agree with Levi, right?
I do, but I had... Yeah, I had something else, but I did not.
I just had a. It's like a different way of looking at it, and I don't know if this is really what they're getting at. But I was look at if you look at the Rishonim, the Rashi, and the Rashbam, what exactly was the nature of the Nes? It says Shayu Yoldos Bnei Ansham Velo Etzev. They had children there without the pain of childbirth. Shlo Yakir Bahen Mitriyim Dichsev Tachas Tepuach Oraticha.
She's saying that they were able to still live their lives normally despite the fact that...
I didn't say anything, but...
maybe what you're going to say is that they were able to live their lives despite the fact of all the mar that they were having in their lives. They were still able to live it to some sort of normal degree by having children and producing offspring.
Okay, that's a nice approach also. You want to say that it's really explaining how Klal Yisrael reacted. It's true, Zeichel, it's true that they were in a bitter situation, but their reaction was to continue to have to procreate. So it's really reflecting
right,
on that.
Right, they had this terrible thing going on in their lives, but they still realized the good of life. And
there's a raya for what you're saying. There's a Rashi in Bimaros Hatsovos, how they used the copper mirrors for the kior, and Rashi there explains that the women used to seduce their husbands into the field. And they actually quote the same pasuk, Tachas Tepuach Oraticha, that really demonstrates that despite their situation, the women were really committed to continuing the nation. So that's an idea that's a nice idea. I had a different, just a little bit different. The idea of a lack of etzev, a lack of pain. So that is a good thing. Obviously it was a nace, and that was the only way that Klal Yisrael could have children. But on the other hand, there is a removal of the natural, normal process of childbirth there. So I want to say that the idea is just like by the tit, the zecher tit, there is like a lack of humanity there. Because normally a human needs some type of creative expression, and it was taken away through the work. So too over here, even though it was a nace and it was for their benefit, they were removed, or the natural process of childbirth was removed from them. So once again, they were almost like an element of humanity, of the natural process was removed from them. So it's somewhat similar to... It's a different approach. Because if you look in the Torah, that's one of the main ideas of Be'etzev Tel Dibonim. That's the nature of a woman. And the nature of a woman is to have children in this way. Now, it's true that the nace was there for that purpose, for the purpose of procreation, but there still was something taken away in that process. There's some aspect of humanity taken away in the process. And this is all a result of their avdus. You don't have to accept it. It's just I like all three approaches. And this area is a little bit speculative because there's, if you look in the area, I actually went to Shir HaShirim. It doesn't say much on the area. I looked through the Rishonim. They don't really speak so much in depth about the area. So you kind of have to, you know, you kind of have to give just possibilities, which is fine sometimes. And it's fun. But I like all the possibilities out here. All right? One last point.
So what's the purpose of this sefer? Just losing touch with humanity?
No, I'm saying just like by Zecher Letet. So they weren't able to express the normal drive or the normal desire for satisfaction, creative satisfaction in their work. So too by over here, this idea is that they lost out on a natural process, on the normal process.
Why is that important to remember?
It's just another aspect of the effect of Aymaros Chayim. It's true that one came from them, and the other one came from God. But both aspects were that they lost out on a certain human experience.
Oh, you're saying it's really falls under one idea of Aymaros
Chayim. Yeah, yeah. I'm saying they both fall under Aymaros Chayim. They're just different. One's coming from Hashem, and the other one's coming from the Mitzrayim themselves. All right. One last idea that I'm pretty certain of. It's in the Tosos. It's the last idea. It's a philosophy idea. Okay, in Charoses. If you look at Tosos, he says Tzarech l'samuche and v'tzarech l'kahuye. Uvi Yerushalmi, in the Yerushalmi, Omar is the avdi zecher l'dam. Some make the Charoses as a zecher to the dam. Umishum hachi karile tibulu b'mashkia. That's why it's called dipping it into a liquid. Even though the charosis wasn't liquid, it was zecher l'dam, which is liquid. V'chein ama davar, that's what the people do. V'samuche, first they make it thick. Uveshas achila, when you actually eat it, mekalshin oso b'yayin v'chumetz. You soften it with yayin and chumetz as a zecher l'dam. What is this referencing? What's zecher l'dam? So Tosus doesn't say, but if you look up the Yerushalmi and the Korban Eida, who's one of them, Farshim on the Yerushalmi, he explains that the children, their blood, the Jewish children, their blood was actually in the mortar. So the idea of zecher l'dam is that you, within the mortar, within the tit, you also include, when you're eating it, an idea of dam, to express the fact that the dam of the children, of the Jewish children, was in the mortar, in the tit. So I just want to add one more philosophical point. And I think the idea of that is that when you work, when most people work, there's somewhat of an escape from your life, right? When you go to work sometimes and you're under a lot of stress, sometimes you can outlet your stress through your work. But I think what Tosus is saying is that they couldn't, the Jews couldn't. So one of the ideas of Vayimaros Chayim, that's why Charosis is a Kiyam in Vayimaros Chayim, is that normally a person can outlet and escape through work, but they weren't able to. Within the mortar was the dam, meaning every day they went to work, they saw their persecution in the mortar. So the idea Tosus is highlighting is that that's the idea of Charosas. The idea of Charosas is teaching you, and added, like we said, each other shita is saying it's giving you an extra insight into Vayimaros Chayim. The insight that Tosfos is sharing is that they weren't able to utilize their work as an escape. And even in Eved, if they're doing work it could remove them from their, or give them a sense of removal from their situation, whereas over here they're constantly reminded. And that was what created the meriros, the bitterness there.
Isn't the work their situation?
No, it's not just that. It's that they were also
whole,
being.
Yeah.
I'm saying they were also being persecuted. I'm saying they were being killed by the Mitzrayim.
Right, but isn't persecution like the central part of it was that?
There was both. That's what I'm saying. There was work, but it's much worse to get killed than to have your children being thrown into the river, you know, and being destroyed.
But how would it have been an escape? Meaning, let's say they didn't have the blood. You're still involved.
Because even in the time of let's say the slaves in America, I can't speak for sure, but I can imagine that when you're out in the fields, it gives you time. You feel apart from your master. You can do something, and you can engage your mind in that, and not think about. What your situation is.
You're more basic, you've got pride in your work.
What?
You have pride in your work.
Well, that was a different idea, but that was the idea that we said according to just the basic idea of Zecher Letet. We said the idea of Zecher Letet is that they would have to make the raw materials. There's no pride in making raw materials. There's a pride in building the buildings, but that's why the Gemara says it's Tevin Letet. That the Charoses is a Zecher to taking the straw and the tit and making the bricks. because that aspect of their work was not satisfying to them. And that's what created the Merirus. But I think Tosfos is adding an extra idea. He's adding the idea that they weren't able to escape their lives through their work. There was no ability in that. So they were constantly faced with that reality, the reality that they were killed and they were being persecuted.
So you're saying even if the job is really one of the representations of the suffering of a person experiencing, it still can also be an escape. Even though the work is one of the big parts.
Yes.
The work is one of the big parts of killing their identity and all these other things, and the fact that they don't really have this outlet.
Do you disagree with that? Or?
No, I'm just
yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying even though you can be an Eved, but there could be an...
You could be totally not productive and totally you're not getting any sort of satisfaction from it, but you can still get lost from it. That's right.
Yeah, because you're doing something with your time and it's not, you're not... At all times, exactly, you're directing your energies. So, but every shita, the way we're defining it, at least philosophically, every shita is trying to show you an extra insight into the idea of Vayimaros Chayim. And each one is highlighting a specific idea.
Mm-hmm. Also, when you said halakha like Tekim and Maror, so you're saying that halakha is a halakha idea? Or is it
halakha? I think that's another good point. Why is it a tibble? Why is it an entity in itself? You see, it's not like mar and it's not like matzah. It's not eaten by itself. It's always eaten with something else. I think that's the idea. It's not an idea that exists within itself. It's only an idea. It's only a concept that exists with the concept of mar.
So is it kiyum of eating mar or is it just own mitzvah?
That's a good question.
Is it its own ma'aseh or is it its own does it have its own kiyum? It sounds like you're saying
it's its own. I didn't want to get into the question of what is the mitzvah. Is the mitzvah to eat it or is the mitzvah to bring it? The Rambam has it that the mitzvah is to bring it to the table.
Right.
So I didn't really want to get into that aspect, but that's the next step. So when you guys are when you're learning, you could take that off. That's a good question, though. But I think that's the key. One key idea is that according to everybody, it's not an ochel in itself. It's a tibol. You have to dip things into it. That's the idea that according to everybody, this concept is adding to another concept. It's not an idea in itself. If your chiyuv was, let's say, to eat it by itself, then fine. But the fact that its identity is a tibol, something that you dip into, shows you that it's a secondary idea. It's an additional idea. It enhances another idea. You get it? All right. So that's the conclusion. You guys have any questions? Any more questions? No, you're good? All right. So thanks for coming, guys. All right.